Hello. I don't see anybody. I just see. There we go. Hello. Can you hear me? Yes. Somebody speak so I can know if I can.
I can.
Yay. Yes. Susan. I heard Marcy. Great.
I can hear you.
Beautiful. Hello, everybody, and welcome. We're here for our open coaching call for ERC. Originally, this call was not supposed to happen today because we had a lot of time for being together over the last week, and this was supposed to be a recovery day, but I realized that it never had gotten deleted from the calendar, so here we are, and I love hanging out with you guys, so we're here. I'm still
in. Hold on. Is this ERC or NEPT?
Sorry. See, I even said it wrong.
I'm like,
I'm still in recovery mode, so I can't even keep my words straight. It was a lot of preparation to get ready, a lot of sleepless nights leading up to the event. And then for those of you who were with us on Monday, we had our wonderful mastermind day, which I thought was phenomenal. I'd love to hear some feedback from you guys. It's such a great connection, and I think everybody got so much value out of it. And then we had an all-day team meeting on Tuesday. So I was basically on until yesterday. I actually got to take some time off and go for a run and just breathe and relax. So today was another day similar to that, although I had a couple of calls that I needed to be on, and here I am with you guys. So I'm here to support you whatever way you need supporting. I'm going to keep this to the actual, 60 to 90 minutes that it's scheduled for today, just to respect and honor you, but also to respect and honor my own need for getting to bed early, which is one of those things that I've done over the last couple of nights and honored my sleep. And Lynn Rose is going to be talking to our ERC folks on Monday about sleep. And I am going to be tomorrow's newsletter to you guys. We'll have a link to Lynn Rose's call. So you guys are welcome to come and be flies on the wall and watch her do her thing and support people, because it seems like an inordinate number of people in this year's ERC are having sleep issues, a lot of them. And I think a lot of people in the world are. My sleep issue has nothing to do with not falling asleep. It just has to do with getting to the bedroom. And I think some people have that issue. One person that Susan's working with right now doesn't allow herself to get to the bedroom until she feels like she's going to fall on her face. And I think we're going to look at her OAT test today. But it's teaching them, okay, just move your sleep time back and back and back, which is advice I need to take myself. But last night I went to bed at 10:30. The night before I went to bed at 11 o'clock, and I slept all the way through till 7 or 8. So I got my full 8 hours of sleep both nights. And I really, it's such an important topic. So I encourage you to come and hear what Lynn Rose has discovered about a lot of different things related to ways to things that interfere with sleep that we can work on with our clients. So for those of you who were with us over the weekend and on Monday, it was just such a great pleasure and honor to be together. It seems like everybody had a great time. I know some of you watched on live stream, and as soon as the videos are ready, which usually they tell us it's going to take 2 to 3 weeks, and it usually takes 6 to 8 weeks. So I'm just telling people, late December or January by the time they actually get us the edited videos, just because realistically that's what it's been, in spite of the fact that every year, we have a new process and it's only going to take 2 to 3 weeks. But we will have those up on the site along with the new charts. For those of you who did the live stream and were at the event, the charts were, I thought, phenomenal, even though I will toot my own horn, ding, ding, ding. Lynn and I put these charts together, and we're going to be adding those charts to the nutrigenomics module. And we're going to be adding some of the stuff that we did at the event to the nutrigenomics module to just, really make it accessible. So, and this weekend, tomorrow, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, I am working on the last 3 modules of the course that need to be filled in. And I just discovered that one of them that I did months ago, like 9 months ago, it says today, I looked today and it says it's not posted yet. So I'm going to figure out where that is. That's our energy medicine topic. So lots going on, and I'm here to support you however you want to be supported. Lynn might or might not be on. She left here last night, actually. She left here last night to go visit her dad. And so she may be maybe taking time away, but she may be just, you know, enjoying being in that relationship, and she hasn't seen him in many, many years. So depends. You guys all know how it could go with parents. It could be going great and she doesn't want to leave, and it could be going not so great and she may want a good excuse to leave. I got to go to work. I have a call. So we'll see what happens with Lynn and get the scoop on that. So how's everybody doing tonight? Yeah? Good?
Good.
Yeah? Yeah? Okay. So I know that Susan submitted an oat test, so we're going to review that. And anybody else that has particular questions or whatnot, put your hands up and we'll go from there. It looks like Maria has her hand up too. So we'll start with the oat test and then we'll go to your question, Maria. And if anybody else has a question that you definitely want to get handled, put your hand up. It looks like V-Elaine has one too. So I'm going to do a share screen and pull up the oat test. And let me, for some reason, my internet went down, so a lot of my windows that I had open earlier to do this are gone. So let me just open the oat test up again. And you're clear that she's okay sharing this, right? Or is she removed her name? I just want to make sure that we respect her privacy. Susan?
Yeah.
Is that?
Yeah, no, she's fine.
She's fine with sharing. Okay. Good, good, good. I know she's always been. Okay, I'm opening it right now. And let me open it in a new tab, new window. Awesome. And then I'm going to share my screen. Share screen. And the one I'm going to share is the oat test. And I know that you went through this, and what I want to do to give everybody, you know, whenever we do these, unless you're brand spanking new, never seen one of these bloody things before, I'm not going to put you on the spot, but I know Susan's done them before and she's pretty adept at lab and analysis. So I'm going to have you go through first and tell me where you would like support here or what your thoughts are. And then, what questions you have, and then I can fill in the blanks from there, because I think that's going to be the best learning opportunity for everybody. All right. So what's going on here, Susan?
All right. Well, you know, we're dealing with a client that has some neurotransmitter issues due to multiple TBIs. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there's difficulty staying focused on protocols, for instance. Mm-hmm. So in my call with her the other day, all I talked to her about was yeast and fungal markers, because mm-hmm. she's only able to remember so much. And right. and I think that's a really heady place to start, given line item 7, which is the arabinose number. It's really high.
Really high.
Yeah. And, you know, she has been on conventional antifungal antibiotics numerous mm-hmm. times, but was never retested. So, you know, she's working with a practitioner, as you know, who mm-hmm. has very particular ideas of how to treat her. So, you know, my
very
thought
conventional
is...
conventional ideas, too, by yeah. my end. Because the conversations I had, at first I thought this was a more functional type doctor from her description. And then as we went through, it was very conventional and lots of medications. And yeah. this client was very open to doing things that weren't so medicinally oriented. So because she's concerned about side effects, et cetera. So she, my understanding, and you may have a different understanding, is that she's very open to doing this from a different way because she hasn't really been getting results in doing it the way she's been doing it.
Yes. That,
yeah. Okay.
That's.
Oops, you froze.
You know, she was kind of strong-armed by her practitioner. I don't know if she told you about that, but was a bit strong-armed by the practitioner not to go change anything. She's gotten her stabilized. And so there's a little bit of a challenge for her navigating that with her practitioner. Right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, given all of that and given her sensitivities, you know, the the thing that she really needs is some mitigation with this yeast overgrowth. So, you know, I'm looking at something like Allicin just to start easy. You know, because I think the die-off is going to be really strong for her.
I think
and,
so.
Yeah, like just getting her started, just ease her in low and slow, and then, you know, change it up, do a check-in, see how she's doing, change it up, maybe recommend some tricycline. I want to give her things that are already mixed together, right? Because she can't
keep it straight. The only downside to that is running
all the botanical protocols.
Yeah. Right. So keeping her to have, okay, on Monday you take this, on Tuesday you take this, or for these 5 days you take this, which is what you'd really want to do with a gut protocol, so they don't develop a resistance. I think, you know, we have to try to navigate that a little bit to figure out, is there a way we can say, like, check in with her on a weekly basis and say, okay, this week you're going to do this one. Okay, now I want you to take this and put it away, put it over here, and put it in a box or whatever. And now this week, we're going to take this one and be very specific, way more than we would say, hey, take this for 5 days, this for 5 days. And most people get it and they can do it. She's got so much brain impairment from the TBIs that I think, and I don't know how you feel about that because you work with her more closely. I've only met with her twice. So do you think something like that would work? I just feel like I'm concerned because she's been doing so much over the years that she may already have some resistance.
Yeah.
And the stool tests she's had have been conventional stool tests, not like a doctor's data with sensitivities or whatnot.
Right.
So I'm thinking, like, if we could get her to do that, like, okay, now take this one and put it in a box. We'll come back to it later. Do this one for this week and then check in with her on Monday the following week and say, take that one and put it in the box with the other one. Now do this one for a week and maybe do that, you know, with three different things and then have her go back and start again. I don't know how you feel about that.
I mean, I'm fine doing that. I mean, it took everything she had to just get on the call with me and then doing the call, you know, normally the call's an hour. We were on for 2 hours just, you know, doing her digestion assessment together.
Mm-hmm.
She still doesn't know where things are on the ERC site. So I'm sort of thinking, you know, Allicin for about 3 weeks, low and slow.
Okay.
Start on tricycline low and slow for 3 weeks, switching her to, there's a gut microbe X made by Orthomolecular, which is another similar type of product, but different. And so, you know, doing it that way. And, you know, I always have check-ins with her anyway. So, you know, she can tell me how she's feeling. If she, you know, if she's feeling worse, back off. It's going to be like that with her.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. I think that you're not going to, as long as they're slow and they're low doses, I don't think you're going to develop that resistance quickly that way.
Okay.
Keep it as soon as she gets up to higher doses of things,
right?
They want it back to doing more regular check-ins. And I would say 3 months to redo this and then see where she's at. And if she's improved, then maybe we do, but there's still stuff there. Maybe we do a stool with sensitivities so that we can very specifically, because if she has developed resistance to some of the stuff we've had her on, we want to make sure we catch it early. See what she does have sensitivity to, and then switch to some of those things.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I would agree with that just because gut brain is so connected. And if her gut is a mess and she has a lot of gut symptoms and she's got a lot of gut dysbiosis, especially with that 67, that's super high, right? And she's got a couple of bacterial markers as well. And that's why the both garlic and the tricycline will work because they're not specific to yeast or specific to other stuff. And then of course, go through with her. Don't put her on grand and say, here, do this. Start her with, here's what I want you to do and pick stuff out of the program and say, let's focus on chewing this week. Let's focus on breathing and calming yourself before the meals. And like, she's going to be one thing at a time, one thing at a time, right? And even if you were to split your monthly calls with her into a 10 or 15 minute check-in every week, just to say, okay, this is what, how did you go with this last week? Great. Let's move you to this. Or, okay, let's continue with that. I think this person is going to need that, you know, regular. And I, you know, we have calls every week between your calls, my calls, everything. There's at least one or two calls every week, but she gets overwhelmed easily and the group calls may overwhelm her.
Yeah. I mean, she wants some recipes, right? So this is good. She's asking for recipes. We know they're on the ERC site, but I'm just going to cut and paste some recipes, send them to her on email.
Yeah. I think that's a great idea. Thank you for, you know, and this is what we have to do with some people. We can come up with our program. We can come up with our protocols, but when people are in this state of such confusion, we've got to adapt it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I, you know, she's a pleasure to work with.
Oh, she's very much so.
It's one of those things, right? Like, I could either get really frustrated and worked up about the fact that I'm spending time with her. I could just kind of embrace the fact that she's a delightful person and I'm happy to help her. You know, it, she really is a very, she's a very compassionate person. You know, when my father was in hospital, there. She was so sweet. So, you know, I get something from it too. Let me put it that way.
I would say the same.
You know, just knowing. Yeah. So that would be the start with her. But yeah, clearly when you go through this, you can see that she has high oxalates. If you go to line item number 21, you know, she's doubled. Right. Then the succinic isn't, you know, I'm sort of looking at things that aren't that, I'm looking at things that are really high, like the homovanillic, the ratio, the HVA-VMA ratio, the quinolonic.
Yep. And the HPA, you know, is another, you know, indication of bacterial overgrowth, right? The right, Clostridia. So, misogyny. So if we can really get the gut going and probiotics, right? And if you can get her to start with some, you know, simple bifidobacter added to stuff and then try to get her to do a little bit of fermented foods, tablespoon at a time type of thing, she's going to restore some of the balance there, which could help because there's her Clostridia markers, right? Did they change the order of these? Where'd the neurotransmitter markers go? I guess it's the bottom of the second page. It used to be the bottom of the first page. It's on the bottom of the second page. Yeah. Right. So really addressing, you're right. There's a lot of things out of balance on that first page. The oxalic, right? As you can choose those recipes, you don't have to go into oxalates and here's how you find them and here's your list and here. You just give her some recipes that show that, you know, that give her what to do because she gets confused. Okay, this is what I can't do, but what can I do? And you got to be careful removing, you know, you should know this, but you got to be careful removing high oxalate foods, even if somebody's sensitive to it, because then they get this rebound. They can have like a withdrawal kind of symptoms. So it's moving them. That's like, okay, here's your no oxalate diet from a higher oxalate diet can actually cause them to get worse.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, what I'm learning in general with people, you know, I'm working with a client with Lyme right now, transitioning her diet has to go really slow. We're talking, you know, teaspoons.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So for someone in this kind of, position, like this client here, definitely low and slow, ketone, fatty acid oxidation, nutritional markers, really super low on vitamin C, and she's taking liposomal C.
How much?
She didn't put that. It's not in her master tracker. So I have to touch base with her about that. And, you know, she's getting B complex injections from her doctor, but clearly she's not getting enough B2.
And that goes back to the Krebs cycle, right? B2 is super important in the Krebs cycle.
Yeah.
Going back to the C though, I would check out what she's doing. And a lot of times with this test, it's the frequency of the C. Because this is a 24 hour, right? It's not a first morning. Yeah, it could be the frequency, and then she just needs to up it, right? And if cost is an issue because liposomal is expensive, and if she's not making it her own, have her get as much as I always tell people, as much as you can afford of liposomal, and then supplement the rest with the best absorbed form, but just low and slow, bringing her up, because sometimes if there's gut problems, it can aggravate, you know, an inflammatory or irritated gut with the vitamin C powder. Mm-hmm.
I would say the PERC vitamin C, the buffered vitamin C.
The PERC I love. I love that one.
Yeah, I find that highly tolerable.
Unless you get super high doses. I've had people who do the C flush and they get really aggravated from it. It's usually because there's some irritation or inflammation in their gut. And then you have to go slower.
Okay.
But just anything with her. You know, maybe we want her on 10 grams, but let's start her on one. Let's start her on two. Let's see if we can get her to remember and take things apart. Signs around the house on sticky notes that remind her, take your vitamin C or take your whatever. That's another piece that's important for somebody when they have that brain imbalance.
Yeah. Yeah. And then if you go to indicators of detoxification, line item 60, this worries me. The ammonia excess.
Mm-hmm.
It's not astronomically high, but, you know, that is going to wreak havoc on her brain.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Big deal with brain fog. It could be related to the candida overgrowth and the endotoxins produced from those. They do produce a lot of ammonia, but it could be that sulfation cycle, like genetically. Has she done a 23andMe yet?
Well, that's the next thing. We've got to get on to 23andMe together because she's afraid of mucking up the process. Okay. I'm not sure. We didn't even get into that. She just said, you know, I haven't even done it yet because I'm afraid I'm going to muck it up.
Okay. Right. So she has her kit. I know I verified that last time. It was included with her program. And this is someone who she's got the patch now for glucose testing. And the first time she did it, I walked her through it on a call. And then the last call I was on privately with her, she says, it's done now, but I don't know how to take it off. So I walked through her how to remove it. Oh, that was good. I walked through her with her how to put it back on. So we're going to get people who are just sweet as can be, but just need more handholding. Right. They're a pleasure to work with, much more pleasant than the people who are just like, you know, snippy and irritated and aggravated. But it's just stuff we're going to run into.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. All right. So yes, I would definitely, and looking at the ammonia, and her glutathione status is pretty good. So maybe it's not a sulfur thing, right? Maybe it is a candida piece.
I think it is.
Yeah.
Like when you go to the analysis at the bottom, it directly links it. You know, it gives you, it could be this, it could be that. But the one thing that really stands out is that it's the candida. I mean, that's a very high number.
It's very high. Yeah, it's very high. Right. Okay. And, you know, liver support, right? So if you can include in some of those recipes, some things that would include dandelion or burdock root or things she could actually include as food to help support the liver. Mm-hmm. Looking at some of the charts, the liver support charts like dill and caraway and lemon oil and things like that, that could be easy, like throw this in your smoothie, throw this in a salad dressing top, you know, put it in some water, those kind of things to just help support the liver, milk thistle seeds ground up and sprinkled on things to help, or broccoli seeds, broccoli sprouts, you know, all the cruciferous stuff, but being careful to avoid too high in oxalate. So I would keep her off the spinach and the chard and beet greens and beets and stuff like that. But arugula could be really, really super helpful, very low or no oxalates, and super important for heart, you know, vessel and nitric oxide production. So that could be really good for her.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. And then I think the neurotransmitter stuff, where'd her neurotransmitters go? Yeah, so she's showing issues with dopamine, mostly dopamine, which, yeah, makes sense given the brain injuries. Have you read Daniel Amen's A Magnificent Mind at Any Age?
Is that his most recent?
I don't know if it's his most recent.
I have the most recent one.
It's on my sheet. Let me see. I have it. I listened to it on Audible, and I like it because he makes connections between symptomatology and which area of the brain and which neurotransmitters. So it's like, well, yeah, doing a brain scan is great, but very small percentage of people are going to be able to fly out and visit him and do a brain scan because of the expense. But, there's really nice connections in there. Let me see if I can find the exact name.
Yeah, I have that. I just got the audio book on that.
Yeah, Magnificent Mind at Any Age. I can't tell.
It is very good. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I have the Kindle version as well. I usually get both. And I haven't gone back to look at those and really, you know, study the charts. I just was listening at triple speed. So I do need to go back to that. But excellent kind of ideas to get. You know, but the dopamine, again, looking back at what are her genetics, right? Are her genetics predisposing her to problems with dopamine because of COMTs or MAOs or any of those others, especially those two. And the dopamine beta hydroxylase, I think is the D, whatever it is. It's on my chart. So have you seen the charts from the weekend from Shine?
I have. It's in my mind.
Good. I had so much fun making them. I wish I had a couple more days because I want to convert all the blood sugar ones and the digestion ones. But I figured I already have these charts.
Those,
but I had a blast doing them and I want to just keep going. I want to just hold myself up for a week and make as many more as I can. Good. Yeah. Cause it helps to read them, you know, when you go, okay, this person has got these issues. So instead of approaching a 23andMe, it's like, oh my God, there's all these sections and what do I do? It's like, okay, who is this person? What am I seeing clinically presenting? Which are the areas I want to see if it's genetically based? And if it's genetically based, how do I support them in, you know, obviously it's manifesting, it's genetically based, they have the symptoms, how do I support them here? And if it's not, then it's really a matter of much more optimism of, wow, it's not genetically based and you have these symptoms, let's just get in there and help you to have better brain health. And you got to start with the gut. You totally have to start with the gut. Bifidobacter is phenomenal. And then what's the one who remembers it? It's a lactobacillus. Is it rhamnosus that helps to, that one that helps to produce GABA, which we don't see in here. I can't remember which one it is. The rhamnosus, I think it might be. I don't have those memorized.
You're saying rhamnosus, I'm saying rhamnosus.
Rhamnosus, who knows? You know, those weird Latin names on how to pronounce them. They're not meant to be said. They're meant to be read.
I think it is that one.
I think it is that one, pretty sure. And then the dopamine and all, but getting the bifidobacter. The other thing is bifidobacter will help produce oxalobacter, which will help eat the oxalates. So low and slow, but get her up. If you can get her up to a couple of 100 billion organisms a day, that's going to really help her oxalate status, right? That's an easy start there. Most people don't have any problems with that one. Some people do have histamine reactions. So if you give them sauerkraut too high, they're going to have a histamine reaction. We can't tell that from an oat, but we would be able to tell from the 23andMe whether she has a tendency. I have a whole chart in one of the slides. I didn't get to put that on a chart, but a whole list of all the histamine related ones as well. And that was on the
day. Okay. I wanted to let you know, Dr. Rita Marie, that she purchased a whole bunch of supplements, the Human Longevity Project. Are you familiar with the Human Longevity Project?
No, are you?
Well, you know, that they're in the internet ether. And, you know, I put in the call notes what she bought.
Okay.
And some of it doesn't look too bad, but, you know, she basically spent almost $200 on these products.
And let's see if they make sense for her.
She felt like she, and you know, so
You keep stopping. So I'm sorry if I interrupt you, but you keep freezing, and then I start talking, and then you come back. So sorry about that.
Okay.
Yeah. So what I was going to say is, let's look at that list. I'll look at it. I don't know if she's on my schedule, but encourage her, give her the link, and get her to come on my schedule. And okay. For you to find the link, you just go into the ERC site, and on the main page where it has the list of the modules, there's one that says Gold and Gold Plus. And on that page is a link to set up the Gold Plus quarterlies. And just give her that link and say,
Yeah.
Right. And then I can go through it with her as well. And we can decide which of these make sense. Explain to her the concept of low and slow. We don't want to overwhelm her system. We don't want to overload her brain trying to create a new habit of taking stuff. Because she explained to me it is that problem that she has this stuff and she doesn't end up taking it because she forgets. Right. So explain to her, great, some of the stuff looks good. We're going to see where we can phase it in. And you and I can have a discussion about what, you know, what really we want her on. If there's some really good stuff, great, let's get her on it, right? But low and slow.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, the thing that's really challenging with the internet now, that there's a lot of people who create products and they have a lot of money and they spend a lot of money on ads. And these ads pop up in everybody's news feeds, and these people are excellent marketers. So they convince everybody that they need these supplements and they spend their money on it. I wish we were as good a marketers as them to convince them that they really need somebody to hold their hand and get the support more than they need $200 worth of new supplements, but they're very convincing. So people buy it. You know, Gundry's out there selling his, whatever the superfood is in his reds, that's the one food that everybody needs. Like, and he's on every place I go, I see this guy popping in my newsfeed. And it's hard for people to get what's real and what's BS. And these guys are so convincing and they have their MDs after their names and they put up these fancy slides. People don't understand it. And they go, it must be good. I must need it. And I'll spend my money on it. So it's hard. And we need to be there to support people in getting what they really need and customizing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Super. Okay.
All right. Yeah. Great plan. I think this is wise. I think you haven't, I'm just looking through to see if you missed anything in particular. Biotin is a high value, means low. So by, is she losing hair by any chance? I don't remember that from her history. No.
No, but it's so strange that she's getting these injectable B complex vitamins. Oh, that's the vitamin H.
Well, it's biotin, which is a B vitamin. It's B9. Actually, I don't know where vitamin H comes from, but.
But yeah, she's supposed to be getting like a whole cocktail. So I'm going to, I'm actually going to recommend a different B complex for her. I was thinking of the homocystex.
Yeah, no, her B12 is fine. And if she's getting the injectables, she's probably getting mostly B12. That's what injectables usually are. And her methylmalonic acid is fine. It's on the lower end, which means it's B12 is in a good status. The B6 is fine. And I bet there's B6 in there. The pantothenate is there. It's fine. Riboflavin is low. So,
yes.
And it's not common to put riboflavin in the injectables other than a trace amount. So looking at getting her some thiamine, and that may help with the Krebs cycle. Right. If you look at the Krebs cycle, B2 comes up, right? All over the place. Yeah. FAD, right? FAD, FAD, FAD. So that can be helpful. So rather than complex, I would rather see her get the specific targeted ones that she needs. You can get liquid B2 from Premier Research. You can get, you know, but I'd rather her get liquid so she can go low and slow. Right. Yeah. A little bit, a little bit, a little bit, but that's going to help with mental status. That's the stress response and energy, right? And more energy to her brain as well as her whole body. The C. So I would address the B2, the C. You know, if she's taking a B complex regularly, it probably doesn't have a lot of boron. And so, you know, a third stage, it's not the higher priority, but would be to get some boron. Boron's important for bone health and it's important for hair.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. And then, you know, it's interesting that her NAC is low. It's a precursor to glutathione. But if we look at the detox, where's her detox?
Just on the next page.
Oh, it's on the next page. There we go. Yeah. On her glutathione markers are pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So the precursors might be low. But, and that would be a question to ask, given the precursors are low, is she getting it in her injectable? Because a lot of times they add glutathione to the injectable. And if that's the case, then that would, you know, I'd really want to look at that sulfation pathway that's, you know, right below the methyl pathway, right? So we have homocysteine goes down into the sulfurs and what might be going on in there. That could cause a backup. Mm-hmm. Molybdenum. The B6 is okay. So that's one of the first steps going down there. But molybdenum is another one if there's some buildups there. But again, okay. Low and slow. Like, let's look at that in 6 weeks, yeah. Not now. Right?
Right.
But I would definitely look at, for now, the ascorbate and the B2. Those are easy ones to get up. Just because of the importance in the immune system in inflammation, which she has high inflammation markers, and in her Krebs cycle. And when you can improve the Krebs cycle, you can improve everything, right? Because energy metabolism is important for every cell in the body. So those are the ones I would focus on. All right. Anything else?
Okay.
Yeah, that's where I would go. Let's see. What's this? Hydrophenols. I'll have to look at that one. That's the only one that's in the really, really high range. And mandelic. I always have to look these up because I don't see a lot of these a lot. And once I start to see them a lot, then I don't have to look them up anymore. But let's see. That's on the last page, right? Here we go. Increased metabolic of fatty acids.
Oh, 68. Yeah.
68, right? 68. Okay, here we go. 68, styrene. Okay, the first thing I'm going to ask people if I see this high, right, it's styrene. Are they going to Starbucks or some other coffee place or tea place and drinking out of styrofoam cups?
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that.
And also look at her meds because she is on several meds.
Well, that's where I think it might be coming from. She was me as a Starbucks person, but I think it's the meds.
Yeah.
I think it's the meds. I'm going to ask her. I'm going to go over. I'll go over. I think this is a really significant one because it's.
Yeah.
You know.
And this may be what's sucking up her vitamin C, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sauna, right?
Yeah.
Glutathione. Ask her if there's any glutathione in her thing, right? Mm-hmm. We may want to look at some N-acetylcysteine after a few weeks to get that in there.
Put that in here. There's a really good.
Because that helps the gut too. And ask her about her plastic containers. Does she use old Tupperware containers, right? Does she use some of those throwaway Glad containers to put food in, especially hot food, after it's been heated and you put it in there and then the styrofoam. And it affects, it looks like it affects dopamine as well. And her dopamine status looked low. Wouldn't it be nice if we could find some simple little thing that makes a huge difference? And this is people don't think about.
But, when you look at the medication, it says antispasmodic and vasodilator drugs. Mm-hmm. So I haven't gone back and looked at her medication list. But she's on so many different things. I saw you list side effects on one of them on the call notes. Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And she wants
to get off of them, but she's. I can't tell her to get off of her meds and replace them with this, that, or the other thing. Her doctor's very aggressive. She's different.
Yeah.
She's not like conventional. She's trying these aggressive, different things, but they're all med related. They're not nutrient related. Yeah. They're med related. And it's like some novel use of XYZ drug, and her poor liver is getting beat up.
Yeah.
Okay. So summary.
Yeah.
Focus on gut healing foods, right? And giving her recipes, gut healing foods. Focus on liver support foods. Just do it with diet at this point. Simple things that she could add to recipes. Support that liver because it's really, really important with all the meds she's taking. Cruciferous vegetables, but keep low on the oxalate scale versus high. So deciding between the dinosaur kale versus the curly kale. Curly hair is like 4 times as much oxalate
right.
as dinosaur kale, right? Arugula is also great with nitric oxide, just going to help with overall body pain and spasm. And you, of course, cardiac risk. And then, you know, looking at her plastics, her styrofoam, her plastics, food containers, et cetera. And then on the supplement side, see if you can get her on more vitamin C, the B2, and then potentially after you get those up, the boron. And, you know, down the road, we're probably going to have to look at CoQ10 and look at alpha-lipoic acid and those sorts of things, but it's too much for her right now.
Okay.
You know, as far as food with her, you know, her comments are, yeah, I eat, and it sounds great, but she eats well and then she blows it. And she goes on the gluten and the dairy and the sugar. Mm-hmm. So just constantly reemphasizing for her ways to avoid it. Here's how you can get some nice sugary treats without going into that, right? I made chocolates today that had hemp seeds and coconut and whatever else in them, and were sweetened with some hazelnut stevia, and it was yummy, right? So like simple things like that where you can incorporate some of the nutrients they need. You can even put vitamin C into some of these things, right? It has that little tang, and you can always incorporate a little bit of vitamin C into some of the recipes. So.
Well, she bought a box of Lily's chocolate.
Okay. All right.
It's a start.
It's a start. I found another one and I'll let you guys know when it comes. I saw it in a Facebook ad, but it was all this raw stevia sweetened stevia sweetened, no erythritol, no nothing. And they had chocolates and they had like little bonbons or whatever. So I ordered like a sampling. And I was hoping it was going to get here when I had a house full of people here for a shine, so I didn't get tempted to eat it myself. It looked good. And I experiment with these things at the risk of overeating them myself for having something to reference to somebody. I hate to reference somebody to something that I find obnoxious. And some of these things out there, have you tasted some of these crackers people actually have the nerve to charge money for? I mean, I'm pretty, you know, forgiving about taste, but some of them are like so bad, I want to trash them. So I ordered some chocolates to sacrifice my own well-being for the well-being of all the rest of us. But yeah, they sounded really good. They sounded very good. So we'll see. All right. So do you feel good about what you've got for her?
Yeah, I do. I'm wondering if I could ask you a quick question regarding a doctor's data test for another client who actually knows you. This is a funny story. She's my first yoga teacher from Toronto. And when I mentioned her name when I was there back in the summer, she knew who you were through Bill. Oh, what's his name? The guy that does the marketing thing.
Oh, Bill Barron.
That's it.
She knew
up the Bill Barron course, Helen Goldstein.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So anyway, we ordered a doctor's data complete stool analysis with parasitology times 3. She's got chronic diarrhea, right? Mm. We were absolutely sure that she would have some parasitic activity or some yeast activity, something. Nothing. really good bacteria, you know, 2+ on Klebsiella. Maybe that's too much for her, but it didn't go into the dysbiotic window.
Okay, just to secretary IgA. Wait a minute, before you go on there, I disagree with doctor's data that if anything shows up in the commensals or the pathogenic, and it's on 2+ or more, especially on something as problematic as Klebsiella, I want to address it. Even though they don't do a sensitivity on it, I want to address it because it shouldn't be there. And Steph has talked about how it oftentimes indicates that there's some SIBO going on because Klebsiella is often one of the bacteria that's involved. And so it's, you know, seeping down and getting into the large intestine as well. So don't discount Klebsiella, even if it's just a 2+. As soon as anything shows up in that commensal column and their symptoms, if they're asymptomatic and, you know, they've moved them, it may be fine. But I'm just really want to make sure that that's taken care of. And I love looking at Booner's book, right? The Herbal Antibiotics, because he has sections in there on all the different bacteria and what he's found to be the best herbs. And I know he talks about Cryptoleptis for Klebsiella, and there's a few others. And it's a really great book to have as a reference. If you don't have it, get his antibacterial, and he has an antiviral. Super helpful.
Okay. Yeah, because I called Doctor's Data today and I spoke to somebody in the lab. And, you know, I said, there must be an error on this test because, you know, she's got a high secretory IgA, like sky high, right? And she's totally symptomatic. And the woman suggested that perhaps she test for cancer.
I mean, it's certainly.
And then she said, well, maybe the Klebsiella is pushing her over the edge, which would make sense, right? Because she's tiny. She's like 105 pounds.
Yeah. Right. So 2+ Klebsiella in her might be equivalent of 4+ in somebody bigger, right? And the other thing with that is she could be having some other allergies. So the secretory IgA will high if there's allergies. So if, I don't know if she's gluten-free, dairy-free, you know, top 6 allergen-free, but it'd certainly start with getting her off of the top 6 allergens and just have a conversation. Do you ever get a bad reaction to any foods? Which of these? And then even looking at the food frequency thing we have and the thing she eats every day, 3 or 4 times a day, like put her on the rare foods diet for a while, like only put her on foods that she doesn't eat all that often and get her on that and then see how that goes. Cause that could shoot the secretory IgA up really high.
Right. Yeah. Plus she's had Epstein-Barr virus, right? That's something that could kind of set it off. So, there's work to do there. Well, thank you. That makes a lot of sense.
Okay, good. Great. And in line of what you just said about, you know, oh, wow, she knew you. Somebody wrote in and said they went to see their endocrinologist and they ran some tests and they ran a thyroid and the thyroid, it's a friend locally, and said the thyroid numbers looked good. But then she started talking to him about, you know, she just been to this conference and she learned this stuff and she thought that he wanted him to do a more thorough thyroid test and that she was working with me. And after she told him that, he goes, oh, I've heard of her. Okay, I'll run the test for you. And I was like, whoa, an endocrinologist locally? That's pretty cool, right? We're getting it out there. It's very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
They need to be educated.
They do. And they need to be open to the fact that they need to be educated. That's the biggest part. Because I know everything because I went to medical school. There were a number of doctors, MDs at the conference this last weekend. Two of them signed up for NEPT. One's a gynecologist, OBGYN.
Oh, wow.
She's out of delivering babies. She wants to more work with people, you know, on their nutrition and prevent them from having bad baby, you know, bad pregnancies and work with them pre-pregnancy. And so she signed up for Practice Accelerator. So I'm going to be working with her one-on-one to create some really cool programs for that. And then the other one is just, she's a general practitioner and she's really semi-retired or is retired, but working on herself, but wants to really get herself under control and bring the word back and, you know, then maybe come out of semi-retirement. So both of them are in, and then there were a couple of others that were at the conference and nurse practitioners and all that were saying, this is great stuff. We need to get this back into our profession. So it's happening. It's happening. It's happening.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. And you know, my father was in the hospital and he went into rehab, right? He, you know, he lost quite a bit of strength, but he bounced back really quickly. And the doctors and the nurses were remarking on the fact that, you know, he's only on one medication. Great. All the rest are supplements, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And because everybody else there completely loaded, the nurse said, especially the painkillers, right? It just completely throws them over the top. Yeah. Yeah, they were pretty amazed, you know, and I really feel that creates a situation where the bounce back is much stronger. For both of my parents this year, they had pretty severe stuff going on, but you know, they're back. It's unbelievable.
It's great. Keep up the good work. I mean, that's so great what you're doing with them and supporting them in that way and making an influence on these doctors who are going, what's different here? And maybe opening their minds to possibility that we're not trying to replace anything. We're trying to supplant and give them options so that they can go down the path of true healing and then intervene with medications when needed. Yeah. Good for you. Yay. Yay, Susan. Yeah. Thank you. Yay. Cool. All right. So we have two other hands up. One is Maria and one is Violaine. Thank you, Susan. All right. Unmute. All right.
Hey.
Hey.
So how many people we got from that? How many NEPT people we got?
We've got, I think it was 9 new in full program and then 6 that did the core, you know, the mini version of it. And then 2 others who are, one of them who's did the core, who wants to upgrade to Practice Accelerator and is trying to get the funds together to do that. And another one that did the basic, you know, the full program and wants to do the Practice Accelerator, but she said she could, without consulting her husband, could sign up for the program, the full program, but couldn't go for Practice Accelerator without going through the whole logic I taught her about how she was going to make her money back in, you know, 6 to 9 months. So she's going to do that.
So you happy with that?
Yeah, I am. I was hoping for more, of course. And there's a few more that might, you know, might go for it. It's, you know, my son wrote me a really cute little message and said, I heard you did a great job, Mom. And, you know, don't be disappointed if not everybody signed up right away. He said it's a big investment. They're going to have to go home and talk to their partners about it. And you must have done a great, great job to get anybody to sign up at that investment level. And I was like, oh, so sweet.
You know? Yeah. That's a good message from your son.
Amen. I'm like, okay. Yeah. So we're just really making definitely. And I was really, really excited about the people that joined. You got to meet them, Lynn Rose, right? Some really strong people that are doing it. And then a few signed up from live stream after that. And then, yeah, we'll go for it.
We don't need anybody who is strong.
We do.
No, I'm just kidding.
Not physically strong. I mean,
I'm just kidding.
Cool. All right. So how can I help you?
Well, first let me say something about the lady who's, Susan is working. I'm pretty sure that her name is, she left me a message today because of her personal training class.
Yeah. She's who you're thinking. Yeah.
Yeah. She basically said, I didn't speak to her. I was not available, but she says that she's distancing herself from ERC as much as possible. Her energy is pretty low and she can barely do anything and she's going to be doing less and less. So I'm just giving you a highlight over here that if you find this woman who is kind of maybe not feeling full throttle, she basically says, I'm doing the bare minimum I can, because I really don't have the energy. I'm not feeling well.
Yeah, that's what we're working with her privately. So Susan gets to meet with her regularly and she's in the Gold Plus. So she doesn't have to be involved with as much of the group stuff as someone else who's just in Silver. And yes, right. What Susan was alluding to is that she wants to keep her from having to go into the modules and figure stuff out on her own, that we're going to baby her and step-by-step her. So that's probably what she was related to. But I think that we need to talk to her about getting hooked up with Maria, who can set her up with some basic, simple movement, because she's got a lot of pain in her body. And so she may need to just be given something simple and then checked up on in another month or 6 weeks to see how she's doing with it. But simple, simple, simple.
Yeah, I mean, because I know that there was some misunderstanding about timing, but I had sent an email saying, hey, you have until the end of the month kind of thing, you know. And she's like, well, I'm just saying that I need more time. And I said, look, you can have the time that you need.
Yeah, I think that was a misunderstanding, because these guys can take those anytime they want. It was
I send a message. I don't want to rephrase my message. If the three, her included, is not, you know, not taking action, there's only three who haven't taken action. So she is already going to go. If the other two don't say anything, I'll give them time. But these people got to do something, you know. So we keep giving them more and more time. They end up doing less and less.
Here's the thing, though, Marie. These are people who signed up for the Gold Plus.
Yeah.
And they got it's not a bonus.
I know.
It's not an extra. It's part of their program, and they get to take those extras. They get calls with Kimberly on the transpersonal energy, but they get to move at their pace. That what's like in her case, Susan and I would decide when's the right time.
Right. To do
it. So putting a time limit on that is just, we just don't do that for things that are part of their program. This is what they get, and they get to take it across the year that they have it. And once they start, you don't want them spreading it out like over 6 months, but it may not be and it isn't maybe the best time for them to start. So I don't feel comfortable giving them a time limit.
Yeah, well, they got the timeline because that message went out. I gave that timeline on the Facebook, so all that was not, but it doesn't matter because there's only three people who haven't taken action. So
it was her,
including her. So I basically told her to reach out when she's feeling better.
Okay.
So, and the other two, if they don't reach out, I'll let them know that they have more time. But
okay, great.
They don't need to know that this was a mistake. That's all I'm saying.
Well, on the other hand, from my perspective, I think it is important for them to know that, because I don't want them to feel like I'm pressuring them to take the stuff they were given. You know what I'm saying? That wasn't.
But they're doing it. They're doing it. So why, if you tell me, oh, Maria, you start studying early. Why'd you just start studying early? And the exam is not until next year. And I said, oh, hold on a second. I started the exercise, so why are you telling me something?
No. That's, the ones you already did.
That's all I'm saying.
Right, the ones
well, there isn't anything.
We need to reach out to them and say, hey, I saw that there was and we don't want to pressure you. We know that coaches to see when the best time is. Because, if I take a program and I get this program and it's a year-long program, and one of the things I really want is this specific whatever, but I know that my schedule's not going to allow me to do it until February, but I know I have a whole year, and suddenly I get this message. I feel kind of schnookered, like, hey, that wasn't, you weren't honest up front that I had to take it right away. Cause if I knew that, I may not have done it, because you know what I'm saying? It's like, I want to make sure that nobody feels pressured, that they feel like when we feel like they're ready, like I think it would be good. Maybe not now, but maybe within a month and, 6 weeks when we get her on another regime, is to say, okay, how can we get movement into your life? And Maria can help you to customize that simple movement for pain. And I don't know if Susan has any feelings about this, but that's just how I feel about putting that timeline on it, because you and I hadn't discussed it in advance.
Right. So anyway. That's what it is. I just wanted to tell you, Susan, and both of you about what she said. So I don't know much more about it. That was her message. I thought I would share. Great. So, okay. So my deal is, I am looking for a full-time job, and I got some gig going on, starting probably in a couple weeks, that is going to be part-time somewhat, but eventually I'm going to go for a full-time job so I can have some financial relief, I guess. So this full-time job, whatever, I'm going to continue to do the business on evenings and weekends. If I have to go to an office, if I don't have really flexibility to work from home, you know, if I work from home, then I can do a lot more things, obviously. Mm-hmm. I can shift the time as long as I'm not in any meetings. So I don't know. But right now I will have flexibility, at least I think for a few weeks, and hopefully for until the beginning of next, until maybe February next year, if this job converts, you know, into something else other than just a evaluation. So I am really focusing on becoming more effective, and I'm going to have obviously limited amount of time. And I decided that I'm going to put all my efforts into speaking, and then the goal of the speaking is to bring them clients, to bring clients in, and then I can pick those clients, you know, whatever the time is available, what fits. Mm-hmm. And so I am becoming really committed to that. So I have to become more okay. All right, okay. So with less on my, I guess, calendar, you know, to focus on 1,000 things, I'm going to be focusing more on these things, right?
Yeah.
So it probably will help me in the long term. And so I'm thinking over here to finally go out after those webinars, but also to do more stuff online, in person over here in Atlanta. And I have to figure out how I'm going to do that, but from collaborations to even getting places for free or something that I can speak in. And might be a little while until I start getting them, but all that. So to start, you know, I'm thinking on getting November is a month of diabetes. Mm. What I'm really struggling in my mind here, if I do something online like this, or even if I, I need some thoughts since you know me well. I'm like, okay, what can I offer these people if we're going to do them more often? Instead of, okay, yes, I can offer them my 101, and these people don't know me, obviously, so it has to be something free, I guess, right? So a little conversation, whatever, but a lot of times people are looking to understand more what the person offers of services. So I'm kind of debating over here on, you know, group programs, right? But also my 101 programs. But I, you know, I'm thinking, okay, month of November, maybe the last week of the month of November, I can talk about that, you know, blood sugar. But then what? I have never done my blood sugar program online and in group. No, I mean, group online. I've done my blood sugar, right? In person and online. But I guess a side of me is a little skeptical or afraid maybe of going on group level that way, simply because I'm not going to have, I'm going to be stricken on the time. Mm-hmm. So anyway, you know, and even if I were to build really this stuff, you know, the sessions and record them and all that. So any thoughts how I could get this, you know, yes, I could have my lifestyle booty camp, which is a group thing, and focus on, you know, on blood sugar or general health. I mean, I don't know, you know.
So are you looking for how should you structure when you do a speaking engagement to get
and ideas, yes.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to step back one. If you're looking for ways to find those events, go online and start Googling on what are some organizations that might be putting things in. There's a lot of chapters and that have local chapters of national organizations that you can look for. So that's a starting point.
Yes.
But once you're there and you're on the stage and you're very dynamic and you're very personable and you get people excited, what can you offer them that's going to get them into your world? That's
right.
Right. It's not what can I sell them. It's how do I get them into my world so they get to know me better. So I would look at what, when you're speaking, what's something like the five top strategies for the simple strategies for, you know, combining exercise and food to drop 5 pounds quickly, or things that will be like a little something, and just have one, two, or three of them. You start with one, depending on what you're talking about. It's best to have your signature talk, which you know how to do. You've learned about it. You've got all your bold art information. Create that signature talk and just keep doing it and tweak it a little bit depending on the audience, right? Tweak it just enough to fit the audience, and then have either start with one thing that you're going to offer them. That's a checklist, a couple of recipes, something that's going to get them that connects to your talk, that totally connects your talk to you, that they're going to say, oh yeah, I want that. And you pass around a sheet, or you have a little card that you hand out and you ask them to fill out and send you back, or you give them a URL, or all of the above, right? To make sure you capture everybody based on their style. You can use one of those, sign up, give me your phone number and type it in on your phone and you'll get it immediately. You can give them a URL and you could pass out a sheet to cover all bases.
Yeah.
Get them to sign up for this free thing. And then that free thing leads them into a strategy session.
Right.
Right. But if you, sometimes when you try to offer a strategy session straight from there, it can work, but people are getting a little bit savvy, right? Strategy session. I know what that means. It means a sales conversation, right? Mm-hmm. Right? Especially professionals.
Yeah.
Because that's who you're going after, right?
Right.
So I would give them something that they want, right? And think about who's the audience, what's their problem, what's their top of mind problem, and how can I help them solve it? Five simple strategies that you can put in place all day long as a busy professional to curb your food cravings, or to, you know, drop some pounds off your midline, or give yourself more energy and clarity. You know, what do you do in the middle of the afternoon when that post-lunch slump hits and you can't think and you've got a report you've got to finish, right? Think about their problem and think about what you can do that you can give them that's quick and easy, because if they're brain-fogged professionals who want more energy, they don't want a 57-page ebook.
Right.
Right? And so you give it to them, and then on the page where you offer it to them, you say, hey, wait, I'm so excited. I was so excited, you know, to share this with you. I've worked with XYZ professionals in these different organizations, and they all find that this helps. But they also find that there's additional things that are very custom to them. And what I'd love to do is sit down with you and have a conversation. Fill out the form below and you'll get linked right to my calendar, and we can talk about how to apply these strategies to your life. And maybe you offer it as a $25, because the free is considered a sales call, right? They may be into it, but you offer it for $25. I'm going to give you a strategy session. Normally I charge $150, but because you downloaded my thing and because, you know, or you came from here or whatever, I want to help you, because I was you. I used to be you. I was that person sitting there munching on M&Ms just to make it through the day. And it really didn't do me well. And I'm now, and you make it so that they can see how strong and vibrant you are, and really nice video, right? And I take it from there. And then you get people into strategy sessions. You're really good at converting people once you get them there. So once you get them there, then you can offer them up an easy to say yes to package that's $497. For some number of sessions that you're going to customize their whatever they need to get what their result is. You can make that up. You've done that before, and you've heard you say that. You can make up the program on the call. You say, oh yeah, what you need is, and they're saying, oh, I've done this. I need 6 months of this and whatever. Yeah. You have the option to offer them. Just want to get them to the call, and then you want to practice up the wazoo, converting from there. And if you can get to the 50% of all people who have a strategy session buy something, you don't have to make up another program.
Yeah.
Those can come later. But
right.
Get them into the private stuff with you. Build up enough of a group that you can then move them into a group of them. Because the camaraderie and the community and, you know, having other professionals who are in the group with them to hear ideas bounced off could be great. But if you if you don't have enough people to get into that, how do you make a group? Like for right. me, my first group came after I'd been doing one-on-ones for years, and I had this list of hundreds of people that had either downloaded a free ebook or done a one-on-one with me, and we identified a group of people to have somebody call up for me and say, hey, Dr. Reamery is, you know, starting this group thing, and she's really excited about it. She thinks she'd be a great candidate. You want to get on a call. So we got on. I did like 30 or 35 of these calls. And I got 15 of those people to sign up for a group coaching, a small group coaching program. Six people in the group, six people that did one-on-one and also had the group. And boom, we had it. And then I made up the curriculum as I went along. What do they need to know? Made it up as I went along. Got on a call and went blah, blah, blah. And that's how I started it. I didn't start with 400 people doing Sweet Spot. I started with six people. 12 people total, actually. No, it was 15, I guess, because I was going to only take 12. So start like that, but start getting more of these one-on-ones. And yeah. more people to sign up for your freebie that don't take any of it. Because then you can go back to them and say, hey, I'm starting this thing. I think you're going to really enjoy it.
Okay, so that is good for in-person. So how about the webinar?
Do the same exact thing.
Same thing?
Same thing. Why do a different strategy? Do the same thing. See how it works. You may tweak it a little bit different for in person. Much easier to get them to sign up for something because you go click this link. I'm going to give you this and I'm going to add this and, you know, I'll give you all this cool stuff for this. And then you upsell them into a strategy session. Same exact model. Exactly the same model. Don't try to reinvent the wheel. You're so ambitious and your brain works and you try to be so creative and then you just get yourself too scattered, spread too thin. Do the same exact thing. You can always tweak it later. Start simply, see how it works, tweak it to make it better.
Okay.
And maybe some of those people you get on and all you're going to offer them is your 3-session training online to just get them warmed up to, because that's what's top on their mind. And as you're working with them, you're going to be talking about the other stuff. And then you lead them from that into a combined program or a nutrition program.
Right.
Does okay. that make sense?
Okay. So, yeah. So I, you know, my focus will be always to, you know, my signature talk is related to, you know, exercise and the body and the, you know, and how it impacts, depending on the group and different things, but.
Right.
you know, right. Always could take the exercise for the blood sugar, could take the exercise for the insulin, could take the exercise for the brain health, which is the executives, you know, and this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But I want to make sure that the exercise is part of that.
Absolutely.
Have a taste of the other knowledge that I have that they can see that is just not training. Absolutely. But. And so you're saying is that offer them, you know, something that is quick, you know, if it is from a checklist that is simple for them to follow or, you know, depending what it is, recipes or whatever, you know, but a checklist can go multiple ways, right? Or could be even some kind of article, I guess, you know?
Yep. But some people love checklists. They right. love a quick recipe like my elixir recipes. Holy cow. Everybody wants it's like this magical thing that everybody wants an elixir recipe. If I said smoothie recipes, they go, yeah, all right. But I say elixir recipes, boy, they're like wanting to get this. So think about the language that your audience uses. You've done some interviews, like go back to your interview notes and see what language are they using to describe their pain and their desires. And
yeah, now that I know. I don't know. I know well that one I know.
Yeah, so that's great. So that's how you position your free thing is based on yeah. what they're saying they really want. Yeah.
yeah.
And give it a hot title, like, you know, something related to improving your brain to avoid the 4 o'clock slump or whatever. I mean, I would think in executives and professionals that's a biggie that they're going to be really concerned about is that they lose it in the afternoon and they're supposed to
yeah they do
done and they're going to want to get their paper done, their reports done and their financials and whatever else they're trying to do, and they just can't be effective after lunch.
Yeah it is their brain capacity
yep
that so, slows down
yeah
and then they don't have the energy to do anything else afterwards,
right? And they, if they make it through their work day, they're crap for the night and they don't
yeah.
have personal life. So focus on those problems and really aggravate those problems and get them to the point where they just want what you have. They want the support. They want the result. They want that clarity in the afternoon. They want that energy. They want that sex life at night or whatever else it might be. They want those things, and you tie it in, and then you make a nice, smooth transition. So it's obvious, how do they get this freebie thing? And then they move into your circle, and then it's nurturing. You know, it's just nurture, nurture, nurture. Some people, it takes 5 or 6 years before they bite. Some people have been on my list and suddenly they've never bought a single thing, and then they jump into ERC or NEPT or private coaching for 6 months, right? Because they've built up that love and support for you, and they go, okay, now's my time. So don't ever feel like you did a bad job if they didn't say yes to you. You've planted a seed. And I will tell you from experience, there have been a lot of people, I mean, not a lot because I don't have a lot of people in high-end programs, but there have been quite a number of people who've gone from never having purchased something or from having purchased like a $47 item, and now they've just spent $10,000. It happens, right? Because they've built a trust up for you. You want to be that likable personality that they go, oh yeah, Maria, she's a riot. I wasn't ready for her 2 years ago when I first met her, but boy, now I want, she's offering this really cool thing. Now I want it.
Right. I will say, though, on a positive note, one of the ladies who I met at the PCOS event, she doesn't have PCOS. She has diabetes.
Oh, well.
Retired in her 60s. She did my sugar challenge. She lost 9 pounds.
Beautiful.
Look at that. 9 pounds, and she dropped her fasting glucose from 160 something. It's now in 90s, early, you know, low 100s.
There you go. That's,
I know.
You quote that. That goes.
I know. I'm going to ask her. You know, she's in the lifestyle booty camp, you know.
Beautiful.
And she's like thrilled. She's just like, oh my God. I mean, you
just
know.
Need a few of these. And that gets incorporated into your signature talk at the right places. I will say, if one thing I did wrong, I didn't do my offer all that well at the event because I was on 3 hours sleep for a whole week, and I just like spit it out. I was giving them what's in there. But one of the things is, and look at so-and-so who did such and such, you know, and look at so-and-so who did such and such. Is this the kind of, how would imagine how it would feel to have that result?
Right.
Imagine, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You got this. And everybody else that's listening, this is a standard way of getting clients. And it's a great way to do it when you don't have programs and you just are offering your one-on-one services. That is a high-end thing that you can be doing with people, and you can make a lot of money doing that. Some people just like, okay, just do VIP programs right from the start. And a lot of people are doing that. Right?
Yeah.
Need a lot of them if you can have that and have a transition into a much higher end program. And I
would love to have my Melissa clients, you know, and every
and you will, right? But some of them need more nurturing.
Right.
One of the people at the thing today, she's been in ERC a couple of times. And when we were talking about my very first online program, which was Balance Your Body Blueprint back in 2010, she says, I was in that. It was awesome. Right. And then she stayed around, and then she popped up a couple of years later and did this or that, and then did ERC. Right. So you just don't know. And it's just so important to nurture the relationships and just give them what you give them. Give them a lot of free stuff, but not big free stuff. Just a little bit of free stuff so that they're left hanging. Like, I love Maria. She's so great. I need her to support me through this.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you can do it part-time when you do this. Don't worry about you already have your lifestyle booty camp. You can move people in. So you think through, what's my logical progression? What do I have? I have my sugar challenge. I have my booty camp, and I have private coaching. It's great. It's a great funnel. Work through, once they sign up for something free, how do you move them through that?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got to think about what's going to be for New Year's. You know, there is whatever, but I know somebody else has questions, so I'll let you go.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. So that was Maria, lower hand, and Violaine. Hello, Violaine. You there? Come on down. Hello.
Hello, Dr. Itamari. Hello, hey. Lee. I only see the two of you.
That's all that's on. Everybody else is off. Come on down, guys. Join the party. There's Maria. Go on, Marcy. Who else is on here? Chandra, Marcy, Susan, and then Valerie, and then a couple of people who are on. There we go. There's Marcy's top of her head. Is your thing way above you? You need to tip it down. Like, there you go. Now we see you. Cool.
They might be doing dishes.
She what?
They might be doing dishes.
Maybe doing dishes.
Okay. I was doing dishes before.
All right. How can I help you?
I came home to my daughter having seizures.
Oh, no.
I know. And she's had like four on Tuesday. She had a couple more when I was here. So I looked on the schedule and it was like mid-cycle. I'm like, oh, it's kind of ovulation. And she was like, oh, like hysterical. So I'm trying to trace and understand a little bit. I came to you in June. We talked about her having seizures on the first day of her period.
Mm-hmm.
So
is this the first time she's had the mid-cycle?
No, this is recurring. I'm starting to see a pattern. It's happening mid-cycle. It happens on the first day of the period. Last time it was a full moon too. So in May, I think we talked in May, I brought her a case study. I was going to experiment with progesterone.
Mm-hmm.
And I did get the ProAdapt. I gave her five drops, just whatever they're recommending. And she didn't get a period the following month. I think she's
okay, so stop before you go on. I want to hear how you gave it to her. Did you give it started on day 10 and stop it on right before she would normally get a period, or did you keep going with it?
No, it was mid-cycle, I think.
Right, you started mid-cycle, okay. And then did you stop it before she was due? Like if she's due, say her cycles are 28 days. What you mm-hmm. want to do is stop it at day 26.
They were irregular. I was doing 2 weeks because the periods were irregular.
Irregular, right.
So I did, well, the thing is that it didn't last because I did 2 weeks. I stopped. I did. And then she didn't get her period. And then in the
at meantime, all, or she didn't get it on
at all. But
at all, okay.
I'm not sure if it's because of that, because we did the ketogenic diet, and it's one of the side effects of the ketogenic diet. So since I was not sure, I stopped because I was like, oh, I need to
stop
figure
the progesterone.
Out if it's the progesterone excess. Oh, if it's the ketogenic diet. And then she didn't get her period for 3 months.
Yeah. So did you stop the ketogenic diet after that?
We are on the ketogenic diet.
So she's on it.
She didn't get her period like July, August. She got her period in September. And then she just got her period a few weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, because we were like mid-cycle. So her period got spaced out, I think something to do with the ketogenic diet.
Okay. And so let me ask you this. So when did you start her on the ketogenic?
The ketogenic, we started in June.
June, okay.
She was really in it in July.
Okay. And you're measuring her ketones?
Yeah, I am. She's traces, or she is in keto.
You're doing a spot, a blood test, or a urine test?
No, urine.
They're not very accurate. Okay, so No, not if you really, if you don't, doing somebody who has a seizure disorder, something like that, you have to be much more specific. Okay. And then did she have seizures at all since June till now?
Same thing. The ketogenic diet doesn't seem to work on the seizures.
Okay. But here's the thing.
How
effective is your ketogenic diet? We don't know.
Yeah, right.
And that's why getting the blood test, do it twice a day, even once a day, but to make sure she's truly in ketosis. Because if you want to affect it, yeah, Lynn just held hers up. If you want to deal with something as serious as seizure disorders, I would be looking at, like, look at the papers, look at the research, and see what range of ketones do you need to stay in to have the most likelihood of preventing it.
Yeah, and I also have to work on the they got me to put her back on animal protein, and it's a big mess. It's not the key. I mean, I don't mind a little bit, but it's too much. So I'll talk about that another time. I have to make my plan and get feedback. But I was going to try the progesterone again, and I was wondering, she's young.
I wouldn't do it until I did. Have you done the Dutch cycle mapping?
Oh, the Dutch, no.
Cycle mapping.
No. You think it could have stopped?
You seem to have had an issue with it stopping, and you don't know. I wouldn't guess. I would test.
Okay.
Especially since, you know, she's got a lot of issues going on. It's just like not like, you know, somebody who has PMS and you're trying to help it, that can be a lot different than this situation. So I would recommend the Dutch cycle mapping.
Yes. So I called, I called them in July for the ProAdapt to find out, you know, about dosage. And they told me, oh, we can't tell you. You have to talk to your practitioner.
Right. They won't tell
you that. I was wondering maybe 5 drops was too much.
It might have been, but we don't know, right?
Okay.
Because without really seeing where she's at, I would say you wait until she gets her next period. You start the cycle mapping on day 2, and you just follow their instructions. If it seems like she's not getting her period, you contact them and say, look, I started her on day 2. We collected everything through days 26, like you said, but now we're on day 29 or 30 and she still hasn't gotten her period. Is there something else? Should I be collecting extra? What else could I be doing here?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, I called them again and asked them if it was possible, because it's very hard for me to collect the urine, but they were nice. They gave me an idea. They said it did not really matter if it was on the same day, you know, within the...
Well, there's two different Dutches, right? There's the Dutch that most of us do, especially postmenopausal, when we're just looking at how is everything working together. That's usually done on day 20. All right. That's a one day. I'm talking what's called cycle mapping.
Yeah, it sounded like something else. Okay.
But it sounds like if you're having a hard time, did they tell you to, does she use a diaper?
Yes.
Okay. So, you know, you're kind of guessing it when it is, but you can still collect. So I would call them.
Yeah, I can put her on the potty and still collect, but I have to. So you're talking about every day?
It's not every day, but it's several. It's about 10 different collections throughout the month at different times. So we can see what's happening at ovulation, what's happening after in the luteal phase, what's happening at the beginning. So I think there's one or two at the beginning, and then there's a couple right around ovulation, and then there's a few towards the end. So it maps out her cycle. So I'd have a conversation with them to see if it's practical to do it that way, right? Mm-hmm. And see what they recommend. But that way, you know, if she was only getting it at her period, it's a different situation than now she's starting to get the mid-cycle. So we want to see where those situations are. Is she low on progesterone? Is she high in estrogen? Does she have some of the bad metabolites? Like, what's happening? And when we give progesterone, because progesterone is a higher up molecule, like if you give estrogen, there's not a lot of downstream from estrogen except the various metabolites of estrogen. But if you give progesterone, it can be converted to DHEA. It can be converted to testosterone. It can be converted to estrogen. It can be converted to cortisol. right? So giving progesterone in higher dose that she needs, maybe, related to increasing her cortisol levels. Increasing cortisol will affect the brain, right? Or it might be increasing estrogen. So it's probably not a good idea to muck with the hormones until you do a test and see.
Okay.
In the meantime, get a ketone meter. Can you get a finger prick from her or a toe prick?
Yeah, like the blood sugar?
Yeah, only you're not doing it as often. You're really just going to do it a couple of times a day.
Yeah.
And then you just see if she's really in ketosis, because you can't say the ketogenic diet doesn't work unless you really verify that she's in ketosis. Plus, doing a typical very high animal fat protein diet, it may be counterproductive. And seriously, if you follow some people's ketogenic diet, it has too much protein to be truly ketogenic, because you're eating all this animal protein, right? So you have to look at that balance. A ketogenic diet is somewhere between 60 and 80% fat. It's got very low carb and pretty low protein, but it varies from person to person, right? Mm-hmm. I can eat the same meals as my husband and we measure and I go into ketosis, he doesn't. Right? He needs a higher percentage, a lower percentage carb than I do, et cetera. So it's just a matter of finding it for her.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Are you measuring are you counting your carbs?
No, I don't count any of it. I just measure my ketones. I say, oh, I'm in ketosis. Great. This worked. And then if I go out of ketosis, oh, it must have been that extra piece of pineapple I had yesterday that threw me out of ketosis. Mm-hmm. Right. I don't want to measure that stuff. And I don't think it's practical, especially for a busy mom, for people to actually have to sit there and count their carbs and their protein and blah. It's hard.
Yeah, it's very hard for me. I mean, yeah. I have to count everything. I mean, she makes me do like 9 tablespoons of oils.
This is crap. I'm going to say it out loud. The way that people teach ketogenic diets is dangerous. 9 tablespoons of oil. That's like oil is to a whole food fat as white flour is to like a whole grain. That's crap. It's processed food. You don't need to be eating that. Whole food.
Why is good?
Avocado, coconut, soaked nuts and seeds. And then you have vegetables with that. A little bit of animal protein with, yeah, sure, whatever. But that's garbage diet. That's a junk food diet. In my opinion, in my humble opinion, that's a junk food diet because it's just oil. There's no fat. There's no protein. There's no carb. There's no nutrients. There's just oil. And the oils are mostly oxidized by the time they make it to a bottle, regardless. I mean, especially if they're unsaturated fats. Right? Saturated fats are more stable.
Yeah, I don't know about the quality. I buy good quality, but I don't really know. I mean, it's still oil. Yeah.
Still oil. I would say the exception to the oil thing is when we're using like MCT oil as a supplement. And that often helps with the brain because it stabilizes the cell membranes and can be helpful. But that's a therapeutic oil, right? And that would be done as a nutrient, as a supplement, as a nutraceutical for someone with a specific disorder. But to tell people to go on a ketogenic diet and eat 9 tablespoons of oil, what kind of oil?
Per day. Whatever oil I want, I give her olive oil, macadamia oil, walnut oil. I change flax oil, hemp oil. I change.
Given that you have to trust the quality, you have to trust the oxidative status. There's no way to dipstick in and say, oh, this one's oxidized, don't use it. You can tell by taste sometimes, but some of them have such a strong flavor to them that you can't always tell if they're oxidized. So you could be making someone worse. So my goal would be higher fat from whole foods, plant-based fats.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe a little bit of like a tablespoon or two of MCT oil. A good quality, high quality organic MCT oil from coconut is good.
Two tablespoons per day.
1 or 2 tablespoons a day, but you're going to start little because MCT by itself, if you're not used to it, can cause the runs.
Start with
a 1/4 teaspoon. Then you're going to go to a 1/2 teaspoon. You're going to find her balance. Mm-hmm. You're going to find her balance with how much carb can you get away with. I can get away with vegetable carb, but I can't get away with grains or sweet potatoes a little bit. I can, or high sugar fruits. So I've learned for myself what keeps me in ketosis. I measure morning and night.
Right? Yeah, and they want 20 grams max of carbs per day. So I can give her a lot of greens, but that's too much greens.
You know what? Here's the deal. What I've found out, I can eat unlimited number of greens and it never raises my ketones. So the advice that people are giving on these ketogenic diets is based on theory, not reality. I eat a ton. I eat pounds of greens a day and they're saying, oh, you got to watch your greens. Whenever you put somebody on a diet that limits the amount of non-starchy, green, leafy, loaded with nutrition vegetables, it can get people in trouble. So you play with that with her and see what that is for her. Don't listen to some quote-unquote self-appointed guru on the ketogenic diet.
Because yeah, she's a nutritionist. She's a nutritionist.
It doesn't matter to me whether she's a nutritionist, an MD, or a person on the street.
Yeah, but I had to do it because I needed to be supervised.
Yep.
But I can still do whatever I want.
You can still do a whole foods, plant-centered diet with however much animal protein you feel comfortable giving her that's pastured and organic and no antibiotics and all that without the freaking oil. Oil's not a whole food. Oil's a junk food. There are therapeutic uses for it. I use it in all my real skinny people with their high metabolic rates who just can't eat enough and they're withering away. Okay, we add some oil to their good whole foods because they just can't eat enough, right?
Yeah, and she gained weight and we don't need her to gain weight. She gained weight on her thighs.
A lot of folks I know do gain weight on that kind of ketogenic diet.
Yeah, it's
right? And it's finding that personalized program, whether it's for your daughter or someone else. It's start with a real clean, you know, as much greens as you can. Carrots, you may have to limit, you know.
Yeah.
Cauliflower, I find a limit to cooked cauliflower. Like I can't blend a whole head of it and eat it without my sugar. But my sugar is up to 120. My ketones go down a little if I do that. Raw cauliflower, no big deal. So you'll find the foods. But you
need cauliflower is very low in carbs. I'm learning about the carbs.
Right, but you don't have, it drives you nuts to have to count them. In my opinion,
have
to count it. You're going to use your ketone needle. There's a lot of these people who are counting the freaking carb whatevers, and they're not measuring their ketones. They don't even know if they're in ketosis. Those urine strips, I don't trust them. They say trace or they say between this and this. Like that range is huge.
Yeah.
You get the meter, you start to measure, you learn, oh, I need to cut back on carrots. Oh, I need to cut back on cauliflower. Oh, greens don't seem to do anything to it. It just keeps it steady. Let me give her more greens.
Yeah.
That's how you look at this.
She did, her urea was low.
Her urine ketones were low? Then that means they're low.
Her blood work, when she did the blood test, urea was low.
Uric acid, you mean?
No, just urate.
Urate. U-R-A-T-E. Is that what you mean? When she did her blood? Because uric acid.
Yeah, I guess it's uric acid. I don't know. I don't have the... For the protein, it usually is high when you have a lot of protein.
Yeah, she shouldn't be having a lot of protein.
So
protein converts to carb. If you exceed the amount of protein you need, the extra, the branch chain amino acids get converted into sugar.
So, which is crazy because, so it was low. So I was giving her about 20, 30 grams of protein per meal. Like, I mean, she does.
What does she weigh?
She weighs 80 pounds.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. No.
Is that not enough?
That's way too much protein.
Well, listen, then when she saw the blood work, she said, oh, she's not getting enough protein. She got me to put her on 80, over 100 gram of protein.
She's not looking at, why is she not getting enough protein? You're giving her enough protein for her weight. She probably needs 30 grams, right? So she's not absorbing it.
No, she's not. And also, yeah, that's the one piece I was going to tell you.
She's not absorbing it.
She's not doing, her digestive system is not, she doesn't digest well. No. It's like the food goes straight through her.
Yeah.
So something's totally wrong. Okay, I'm going to change it.
So you got to address her gut. Yeah, because if you look at, you know, we always ask the why question, right? Okay, you're low in magnesium. Okay, just give you magnesium. Why are you low in magnesium? Are you not getting enough? Are you not absorbing enough? Are you having some things that, that get in the way? You're not getting enough. Your protein level indicators are low. So why are they low? Are you not getting enough protein? Are you doing things that are interfering with the absorption of protein? Do you have low stomach acid and poor digestive function? And you have to get to the root. Yeah, we want to address it if magnesium is low and she's having symptoms of low magnesium. I'm just using that as an example. Sure, supplement magnesium, but also fix, right? The leak in the roof, right? You put the bucket under it. No longer a mess on your floor. Yeah. Your hardwood floor is not going to get messy. Just keep emptying the bucket. Fix the damn roof, right? That's what we want to do in the body. Sorry if I'm getting overly excitable about this, but this is the stuff that drives me nuts. Because
The nutritionist, I mean, I went to see them because I knew it had to be supervised, but she's putting her on like a dangerous road. Yeah, I'm glad I brought it up. And I had a feeling it was just not right.
Your mom, you're educated, you need to trust that gut feeling and then ask for advice if you feel like you're getting wrong advice. There's a lot of nutritionists out there that have been conventionally trained. There's a lot of functional medicine practitioners out there who go and learn this stuff, but then they apply their allopathic thinking cap to it, as opposed to we want to get to the root. We want to change what's really wrong. And you can't do that. That's why we teach the way we teach.
Mm-hmm.
Getting to the root cause as opposed to, you know, and just blindly following these ketogenic diets are, I think, dangerous. You give somebody 9 tablespoons of oil a day.
And then I talked to the nurse practitioner yesterday, I addressed it. I said, what about the hormone? You know, like she said, yeah, you know, seizures have been, you know, linked to cycle, you know, changes, but she, I said, is there any test you can recommend? You know, can we look into that? And she said, no, she said to me that, with the seizures, you know, the fluctuations are normal. And then what did she say to me? That within the,
So I'm going to just stop you there because, yes, you don't have to remember what she said. But here's the thing, right? Even if, like a logical, like if she didn't know about Dutch and she didn't know about saliva testing and she just logically said, well, how could we tell where her hormones are? She go, well, we can send her for a blood test at various times throughout the cycle and map it. We know what's normal. We know what would be out of normal. Mm-hmm. So even if you don't have the tools we have, right, you think logically, you have to be thinking logically about how the body works. And when something goes wrong, where did it go wrong? So if I didn't know anything about Dutch testing, I didn't know anything about saliva testing, but I knew that this person was having issues at certain times of the month, I wanted to see, okay, what times of the month would be, okay, day 2, because that's when we're at the lowest, right? We're starting a new cycle. Day 2, progesterone's low, estrogen's low. And then I'd want to be looking at what's happening right around mid-cycle. So maybe some testing between day 8 and 12, right? Because the luteinizing hormone comes up and then and that causes the estrogen to start to rise. And then the follicle stimulating comes up and it causes the follicle to burst. And then the estrogen comes down and the progesterone goes up. Go to the reproductive module. It's all mapped out in there. And when you understand what's supposed to happen at different parts of the cycle, we can tell if we test here and then here and then here, we'll see if the hormones are out of whack. And that's what the cycle mapping does. But even if you just did blood tests, it's a pain in the ass stuff to go to the lab every, you know, 3 or 4 days, but there's still ways to do it. And it's the thinking outside the box and thinking within the realm of how does the body work? How does the biochemistry work? How does the physiology work? How do the hormones work? What are their patterns? What are the patterns supposed to be? And then how can we tell if this person's way off? And I've done these cycle mappings and seen people, you know, they're at mid-cycle and their estrogen is down at the bottom. Like, okay, how are they going to ovulate if their estrogen's down here and nothing's getting stimulated? Well, let's test the FSH and LH to see where they're at. What happens with the progesterone? If the progesterone's coming up at the wrong time, it's going to get in the way of the estrogen, and then we're not going to ovulate. I mean, there's all kinds of abnormalities that happen. That's why I think if there's stuff that's linked to various parts of the cycle, cycle mapping is the way to go. We haven't done a lot in this program because a lot of us are working with postmenopausal women and we don't have cycles.
Yeah, and cycle mapping. Yeah, I understand. Yeah.
Okay. So it's finding out.
Within fluctuation, there's always fluctuations, and she was just like, no, it's just, there's always fluctuation, and there's seizures within those fluctuations.
So it seems like she has the seizures at the times when there's changes, like she's not when there's a steady. But seriously, if you look at the mapping of a normal female cycle, there is no pattern of like, oh, let's just keep this here. It's like it's this up and down, and they cross, and it's a matter of what's supposed to be high, what's supposed to be low. And when we get out of balance there, that imbalance between the hormones can create all kinds of neurological and hormonal and inflammatory shifts. So
the doctor offered to put her on that injection to get her period 4 times a year. And I said, no, I don't want to do that. Because that's the other solution that they gave me. Like,
it's not a solution, it's a band-aid, right?
Situation. Let's just inject her and she'll get her period 4 times a year.
And if she gets her period 4 times a year, does that mean that she's okay? Like, it doesn't mean that she's healed, she's well, she's balanced. It just
kind of a weird solution.
It's a weird solution, right? Yeah, I'd rather see her get her period.
No, it doesn't seem natural to me at all. I don't like that.
No.
I said no.
Yeah. You're smart. You got the instincts for Mama Bear to protect her. And, you know, it's a situation that has to be addressed, but her gut certainly has to be addressed. Because if she's taking in at 80 pounds, she's taking in 80 to 100 grams of protein a day.
I know,
what
for
load
working.
Is that putting on her kidneys? All that nitrogen that has to, all the acid that has to be eliminated, and she's not actually utilizing it?
Mm-hmm.
What's happening there, right? And then the proteins that don't get digested and absorbed, they're going down into the lower colon, and they're feeding all these organisms to create dysbiosis, putrefaction. They're creating very acidic and unhealthy byproducts.
Yeah, she's been on animal protein for a few months. So hopefully I can repair that. I started the...
It doesn't mean she has to be off of it completely. It just means that it needs to be balanced.
Yeah.
And that much protein, if she needs, even if she was absorbing it all, right? If she is, she only needs 25 to 50. At that size, probably 30 grams of protein a day. The rest of that could be converted into branched chain amino acids and shooting the sugar up, which is the opposite of what you want to do on ketogenic.
Okay. Yeah.
So play with it.
I'm going to go that route.
Check her out and see how it goes.
I got a pretty good idea what to do. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Keep the hang in there.
Yeah. Thanks.
Right.
We are.
What's that?
I'll be back in the kitchen. With a smile.
With a smile. Feeding her good, solid, real food.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and then, stuff that I want to eat too, you know, so I don't have to do like, this stuff.
I'm just thinking of this 80-pound girl. What is she, like little, like 4'10 or something?
Yeah.
A little bitty thing. Having 80 to 100 grams of protein and 9 tablespoons of oil.
Yeah, and buying this oil.
Where's the nutrition? Where are the antioxidants? Where are the vitamins and minerals coming from? They're not.
Yeah, no, she has some vegetables, but, you know.
That's not the proportions we want to see. There's not a lot of calories left. 9 tablespoons of oil at 120 grams per, right? That's like 1,200 calories of oil. How many calories can an 80-pound person burn? 15 at the most, probably more like 12. And then you add 80 to 100 grams of protein at 4 calories per gram. That's another 400 calories. So just the protein and the fat, is it 1,600 calories? Of course she gained weight.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
And I was wondering about the ketogenic. I know it's good for the brain. It gives you a lot of energy, mental energy. I haven't been on ketogenic diet, but for her, she's kind of restricted in terms of she's very receptive, but in terms of like expressing herself and doing things, she's kind of blocked in her body.
Yeah.
I was thinking, you know, maybe the ketogenic is too much for her.
Okay, before you go there, right? What you've been doing is way too many calories. This girl is in a wheelchair. How does she even burn that? She can burn maybe 1,200 calories a day. You're giving her all this extra. She's putting on fat, toxic weight. I mean, it's just not right. So, yeah, maybe ketogenic isn't right. But if you do ketogenic the balanced way, and you don't see her, you see the ketones going in the 1.5 to 3 range on a regular basis, and you don't see it stabilizing. The reason it's been done for seizures is that it stabilizes the brain. And that's why the hyperactivity of the brain. But, you know, we don't have enough to go on here, but I don't think you've been doing a good version of ketogenic. And you haven't been measuring, so you don't even know if she's in ketosis. And given how much protein she's eating, she's probably not.
I have, the thing is that she seems like in the morning, it was like traces, afternoon, she was more like in ketosis. She was, but.
Okay.
Yeah. But it seemed to fluctuate though.
Yeah, it will. It will, you know, yeah. All right. Well, we're at the end of our call. Does anybody have anything really pressing before we go? Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you for bringing it up. Did that help anybody? Does anybody, let's see, Lynn Rose, what books were you talking about? Oh, Herbal Antibiotics, right? And Lynn Rose, has she been treated for parasites? So gut is clearly something that needs to be addressed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Stool testing and that sort of stuff. All right, guys, thank you for being here. Anybody have any last comments? Anything you learned from this that you're going to take away?
Yeah, that we cannot trust these people.
No.
It's hard, you know.
And we cannot just listen and do it without really just thinking, just because they have the freaking credentials. One client of mine said, I told him about doing a cleanse without even, which is a cleanse, you know, I was basically on, you know, removing certain foods and putting more of others, right? It was not any radical, not like a flush or anything like that. Instead of even looking at the program, he went online and he sends me articles, which I didn't even open. And he says, nobody in the medical field agrees with a liver cleanse. And says how, you know, blah, 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 blah. And says, look, you do whatever you want. So what you're doing seems to be working. And, you know, you're stuck and you're not following my directions. So, you know, I'm here to provide you tools. And, but I'm not going to hear to debate, you know, so I believe on this. I do this. My clients do it. They're happy about it. I'm not going to put anybody in danger. He's like, you're putting people in danger. He says, no, I'm not. You are in danger because you're not doing anything. So, I mean, I was so straightforward, you know, obviously he didn't like any of that, but you know, these people go, oh, it's just nutritionists and the doctors say, you know what? The nutritionists and the doctors also tell people to eat, diabetic people to eat this and that and that and that. I don't give a crap, I told him, what they're telling them. I don't want that way. So if you don't want to do that, that's fine. You know, I'm giving you tools. You do whatever you want to do. You're smart. Figure it out.
Detox and all that. If you look it up, you get the Quackbusters.
Oh, yeah.
Right? That come out. They're pharmaceutical reps that are trying to debunk everything. They debunk acupuncture. I mean, my God, it's like thousands of years old. It's the most basic, earliest form of intervention. And they call that quack. Let them go.
We use QuackBusters as a reverse barometer for whatever's working out there.
Absolutely. If you ever get quoted on QuackBusters, you know you made it. Like, you're really good at that. Right, you know what's really real, because they're out to debunk everything. And look at what Susan's done with her dad. I mean, he's on hardly any medication, and he's recovering better than any of their patients. Now, you know, be careful with using the word cleanse if you want to. If it's a conservative audience, I want you to go on a diet, a robust diet that helps with cellular energy and support, right, and loaded with antioxidants and vitamins and minerals. And then you stay away from the foods that are going to stress your liver into having to clean out more, clean house more. But those people, Maria, say goodbye.
Oh, I did say goodbye. But I did learn that lesson, exactly the one you just told me. I says, okay, the word cleanse is no good here for a very high-end executive person, because they're going to go straight to Dr. Google and says, oh, I sent Dr. MD and yada, yada, all these articles. At 3:30 a.m., I just says, okay, was my phone, or were you really awake and researching this? Oh, I woke up and I couldn't go back to bed. I says, how about applying some of the techniques to go back to bed that I asked you to do? I see what I'm saying? I says, you know what? I cannot help you if you come up with a mind shut down.
A good approach with what you just said is, we want our words that we put out there,
yes,
to attract the people we want and repel the people we don't.
That's
and
right.
We also want to have a screening process when we're talking to somebody, and you just put out, you get the barometer, and you go, you know what? I'd love to help you, but I really don't think you're ready for what I have to offer. I'm going to recommend you go down the street and see XYZ dietitian.
Yeah. Now, this person gave me no reason to say no. I mean, really. So, but obviously things get a little uncomfortable, you know, as we start.
Of course. They don't.
And then there is always reasons to go down. But I said, you know what? This is not the right person. It's not going to succeed, because I mean, I'm telling this guy to do X, W, and Z, and it says, try more this, more fiber, look at your diet. And I said, I'm like, he's not doing it. I says, I cannot operate. And by the way, here's the thing that I really failed. Okay, this is the part that I failed. But I thought this guy was going to change. He says, I don't cook. And I says, look, if you don't, and I says, what happens? I ask him, what happens if your wife dies tomorrow? You know, what are you going to do? I says, can you actually do some stuff? And I told him, how about this smoothie and shit like that? That is so simple. The guy wouldn't even do that, right? It's all dependent on what. And I think I should have, you know, I have forced more on that topic at the end of our conversation, because it's like, yeah, let's do it. And then he says, oh, by the way, I don't cook. And I says, hold on a second. You're going to have to make some changes in that direction. If you really want to take full ownership of your health, you're going to have to cook some. You're going to have to prepare some. And by the way, the relationship of your wife in saying what, you know, what is best for you in the kitchen might change as well. As long as you're open to that, you know, then we can do this. But, you know, maybe I didn't say it with so much clarity.
Yeah, because that, hard, Maria, don't hold yourself. Yeah. Don't be hard on yourself. That first visit when you're talking to somebody, it's hard to see some of that.
Right. But
I always will say, when they say, well, I had one person came and said, I did a whole thing, and this was in the early days when I would write this whole report of, here's all the things I need you to do and change and everything. And she's going, well, I'm not, why, I don't want to take supplements. Well, first of all, I don't want to change my diet. I don't want to.
Oh, yeah.
Foods. And then she said, and I don't want to take supplements. And I said, that's awesome. I need you to find somebody else to take care of you, because I don't have any other tools in my toolbox. This is it. Maybe somebody else has other tools in their toolbox, but if you're unwilling to change your diet and you're unwilling to take some supplements while you're changing your diet to supplant the deficiencies, I don't have any magic bullets. Where's my magic wand? My magic wand is broken this week. I have that magic wand. We did it at SIV a couple of times. It's like, it doesn't really work. It's just for show. I wish I had one of these that worked.
Right.
Thank you very much. Have a good life.
Right? Yeah.
in exactly. a nice way, in a nice way, right?
If yeah.
Change, like the woman that's in ERC that we all were talking about earlier, she's a lovely person. She wants to do this stuff. She's challenged because she's had brain injuries and she can't remember to do these things, but she wants to. We just have to work with her in tiny little steps and we're willing to do that. But if somebody comes up to me and says, I won't give up gluten and they are, you know, struggling with some like Crohn's disease or whatever. And they say, well, I won't give up gluten. That's a whole bunch of cooey. And I won't, you know, stop eating sugar. Dr. Google says it's just fine. And I go, great. I can recommend somebody down the street that you can work with because I can't, not willing. Right. But if you say to me, I've been on gluten my whole life, I need to find substitutions. I'm like, sure, let's make a list of your gluten foods and we'll substitute the bagels for this and we'll substitute the bread for that and we'll help you get through this. And they're willing. I don't care if I have to take a long time, unless they have cancer or they have something that could kill them before they finish making the changes. Then I'm clear. You know, normally I'll work with you step by step, but you know.
Yeah, no, it's there is always lessons behind this stuff. So
totally. Every single patient, whether it's someone who you have success with or someone who you don't, they're going to teach you a lesson. And now you threw something more in your bag of tricks, something more that you know for next time, what to do, what not to do. Right? Susan, do you have anything to say about that? Because you've had a lot of experience with this, especially dealing with Western medicine with your mom and dad.
She's muted, I guess. She cannot hear us.
Oh, she can't hear?
I guess not.
Oh, wait, there she is. She kept freezing. Hi.
Oh, yeah, she was freezing, yes.
She was frozen in that. She was pensive.
Yes.
Okay. That pensive
hey, here I am. Sorry.
There she is. Hey. So any comments or words of wisdom? Because you deal with the medical docs a lot with your parents. She keeps freezing.
Yeah, I know. My internet connection's wonky. What do I have to say about doctors? You know, they have egos and they're very easily threatened. So with the information that they need and you ask them to test, if they don't want to run tests, then... actually, they usually do. If they know that you're really active and you know what you're talking about, they'll play ball. Very few will not play ball. There was only one doctor that summoned me out into the hallway and, you know, gave me a little bit of a talking to about my father, and we fired him. That's the other thing. Fire, move on.
You want me?
There's going to be another
you're practice. Fired. Yeah. Hey, she put a trap on the guy. She pulled a Donald Trump. You're fired.
Like if you're willing to work with us this way, then great. If you're not, we'll find
somebody who will.
There's always going to be somebody else. You know, we went through 15 doctors for my father before we found the right.
Teaching the patients.
Fortunately, we only went through cardiologists. What's that?
Oh, I said teaching our clients to interview the doctors before they say.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there's a whole, people are so intimidated by doctors. I've had to accompany clients to doctor's appointments because they just, you know, one of them was an acupuncturist, just had no sense of how to approach the doctor, completely lost her power.
You know, Susan, maybe we should have
man in the sky with the, you know, it's God in the sky. It's like they're the superpower that you mess with.
I feel like a module coming on.
I can feel it. Yeah, that's exactly. Lynn knows me well enough by now. And I think we, you know, in fact, I'm going to reach out to you because I'm putting together the client, the, you know, the overall like client care process thing. And I think if you want to, I'd love to incorporate something like that, how to work with doctors. Would you be willing to work with me on that? Because I think it would
be.
Okay, good. And becoming their advocate, right? Somebody needs to be. And I know some people who just, that's what they want to do. They want to become patient advocates because they need that because they are so scared. Yeah. Good.
Oh, gosh.
I'll reach out to you. We'll get that going. I know that, what was I going to say? Oh, yeah. I remember on one of our, I think it was a Thyroid Revive and Thrive call, and this person's telling me her experience of going to the doctor. And just as I was about, I'm thinking, you got to fire this doctor. You got to fire this doctor. She said, and you know what I did? I fired him. I told him, forget it. I find another doctor, because if he won't run my TSH and my T, he's only going to run my TSH and won't run my TPOs and won't run free T3. He's fired. He doesn't know enough. I want him out. And I was like, yes. So I feel like I empower them. I can't tell them to fire their doctor. I can just think it, right? Because I always have to say, and if your doctor's not, you know, don't do this unless your doctor approves. And my thought is, and if your doctor doesn't approve, fire them and find a new one, right? I can't say that because I don't want to get myself in trouble, but I do hint at it and, you know, say you have a choice. You don't have to stick with this one. You can find the one that's going to work as a team, because really it's a healthcare team, you know, and the healthcare team needs an acupuncturist, and it needs a homeopath, and it needs an herbalist, and it needs a health coach, and it needs a nutritionist, and it needs a doctor that if there's necessary. It doesn't really need a doctor, quite frankly. It doesn't need an MD, quite frankly. Really, honestly, unless there's medications involved that they're already on, right. Or unless there's right. Some sort of a trauma or acute condition. So they need an MD in the background to call on. And it's a really good idea to have one understanding. When we moved to Austin,
yeah, I said, okay.
Right. That's positive. My kids were little things, right? A year old and four. And I said, okay, we're in town. I guess I should have a doctor on our team. And, you know, in case they ever break a leg or have, you know, some kind of emergency, get bit by a snake, that I have a doctor who's, understanding of my way. And I searched around, and there were very few functional doctors, if any. There was only one actually in Austin at the time. So it was him and me that were the functional docs in town. And I found him, and he had a partner in his office who did the gyno kind of stuff. And it was great, because I went in there and I said, this is it. And he goes, okay, here's what you want to do. You want to join this association, because they're trying to get past the no vaccinate, you know, the what exemption for personal belief on vaccination. I'm like, wow. And he had this big sign in his office about, you know, don't prescribe antibiotics unless they're absolutely life-threatening. And he was like, really cool. And so he was my family doctor. So on record, if anything crazy happened and my kid had to be admitted to a hospital because they had, you know, something, that he right. was there, and he would go to bat for me. Mm-hmm. And that was it. We went once, and he said, no, don't even give them herbs to bring down their fever unless it's over 104. You just let them naturally work it out, because that's going to, and I'm like, oh, this guy really is good. He ended up going in and learning homeopathy, and now he does a lot of homeopathy. But that was the kind of doctor I wanted on my side, right? And the one other time I brought him in, my son was in like, I think he was like seven, and he was in this class, and everybody in his class had gotten an ear infection, and so did he. And I brought him in, and I had been doing stuff, and I had him just check, is this an ear infection for real? This is what I'm seeing. I think it is. This is what we've been doing. And they were like, great, keep going. I wanted to find out, does he, nope, no antibiotics, nope. Just keep doing what you're doing. Get him acupuncture. Took him into the acupuncture clinic, got the acupuncture, got some herbs, brought it right down. All the other kids were still sick. He was fine. You know, so that's the kind of MD that you want to look for and ask questions for. And if we could teach our clients how to find somebody who's going to go to bat for you rather than who's going to try to force medications down your throat at every this, that, and the other thing, that's what's going to help. And it's teamwork, right? It really is teamwork.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Thank you. You got me on my soapbox.
Yeah. You know, I think people feel like they don't have a choice. People don't feel like they have a choice. They don't see that they're, you know, I mean, we are in a business-based structure in healthcare in this country, right? I mean, that's the crass reality of where we're at. And so, you know, I tell my clients, you're the customer. You go in and tell them that either they're going to work with you on your health because you're engaged in your health, or you're going to find another doctor, right? Yeah. And when push comes to shove, they'll respond.
Yeah.
When I went to see the neurologist last month and we figured out that the ketogenic may not be working, that diet, so she offered a vagus nerve stimulator, a device to put in her neck to help her because it works sometimes for seizures that are not being treated. And I didn't want to do that. I found it.
I would ask more about it. It could be something that's just superficial, that's doing a little, you know, stimulation, like an energetic stimulation. But if it's actually inserted in, and I mean, be careful, right? We do want.
She already has like a rod in her spine. She has a G tube in her belly. And then yesterday,
she doesn't need another device stuck in.
And Lisa, yesterday when I went to the to see the physiatrist for Botox injection, she said we should do the baclofen pump, which is another device that they put in the belly to deliver baclofen. So if I listened to them, she would have device in the neck, two in the belly, the rod, the spine. It's crazy.
I think that the neurologist is going in the right direction, suggesting
the
stimulator.
Are there other ways to do it?
Matter of what the
I like the vagus stimulation, but that sounds like because it's important, and she's so trapped in her body, she's just like laying there. She might need that vagus nerve stimulator.
Or
the gut does the same thing.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the gut is.
Yeah, I got to walk on the gut.
The cranial nerve.
Yeah. You may not be able to do that with her because of her situation and all that. Coffee enemas stimulate the vagus nerve.
Yeah, great idea. But Violaine, is she taking CBD?
She is, yes. And I just ordered, I'm going to add on the CBD. She's taking a mixture of THC, very low THC and CBD. And it seems to help with spasticity and it relaxes her. So I ordered because this is expensive and it's got THC and she doesn't like the THC too much.
How do you get that? Is it legal in New York?
Well, I have a card. That's why I'm seeing a doctor. I can only get it with a doctor. So from what I understand, it works best when there's a little bit of THC with the CBD. But it's super expensive. I mean, I can spend so much money on it. So I ordered...
I would look into that some more, Violaine, because CBD is legal, right? You can on the doctor supplement.
Just bought CBD for Charlotte's Web, the Charlotte's Web CBD extra, and I'm going to really up those now that she's used to it. I'm going to up those because for the spasticity, the shakiness, so I'm gonna try that before the baclofen pump. I don't want to pump. And then I was telling the doctor, and what about if I want to rub her belly? I can't touch her belly on the right side already because there is the tubing. I'm like, I can't really rub her belly when I feel like she needs a good massage. So now with that baclofen pump is like 3 inches wide. It's big. I'm like, I won't be able to rub her belly. I can't do that.
And the rubbing the belly is a very important stimulator of vagus nerve reaction.
Well, the other thing is that they put these things in consideration the size of the person, right? These are devices that are made for everybody. And, you know, everybody's a different size. But I was going to tell you that on the doctor's supplement site, there's a very good quality CBD oil available, right? And as practitioners through Dr. Rita Marie, we can open accounts on doctor's supplements. Yep. And as a practitioner, you get 20% off. So you might find that that's a more reasonable price.
Which one is that?
The doctor's supplement store.
Okay.
I don't remember the exact Do you have it handy? It's in, go check the newsletter. If you, every newsletter we've been sending out for the last month, you'll see it again tomorrow when we put the link in there and tell you how to get set up.
All right. I'll take a look at that.
Okay.
It's called Plus CBD Oil, and it's a very good quality CBD oil. It comes out of the Netherlands.
Great.
Okay.
Great. All right, guys.
I'm going to try that.
Have a good evening. Have a good rest of the week.
Thank you.
We have a couple of calls next week. We actually added a practice building success call next week with somebody who's a copywriter, and she's going to talk about how to really improve your writing to really attract people. So that may be good for all of you to really, you know, I can't wait because I always want to improve my writing so that it really appeals to people. So we're doing that. I think it's next Thursday, I think. Might be, or Tuesday, I remember. One of the days next week, we'll have the link in the newsletter tomorrow. Okay?
All right. I'll see you in the morning.
See you in the morning. Is it 9 o'clock tomorrow?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Okay. Oh my God, it's already 10 o'clock.
See you then. Yeah, it's way late.
All right.
Bye.
Good night.
Bye. Thanks.
Thank you, everybody.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.